Hey, college football fans. This podcast is brought to you by Citi. And whether it's football or finance, teamwork matters, which is why Citi is proud to bring you college football's finest. The 2010 Rose Bowl game presented by Citi. This is the ESPNU College Football Podcast.
College Football Podcast.
Your host today, Ivan Maisel.
Hello and welcome to the ESPNU College Football Podcast. This is Ivan Maisel, senior writer at ESPN.com. It is game day. It is finally here, and I am joined by my two friends and colleagues, Pat Forty and Mark Schlabaugh. Pat, since you're holding the microphone, can you believe it?
Yeti, it seems like it was yesterday that LeGarrette Blount was decking Byron House, and now all of a sudden here we are at the end of the year. It's another long, adventurous season, but seems like it's flown by.
Mark, when you think about this season and the possibility that the SEC, I can't believe I'm asking him this, the possibility that the SEC could win its fourth national championship in a row, is all right in the world?
I don't know if all's right in the world. I think most people assumed it would be Florida going for its second straight BCS title. Rather than Alabama, I think if you looked at Alabama coming into the season, a lot of question marks on the offensive line and at quarterback and some other areas. But, you know, I don't think this has been the best season for the SEC, and I think it's been documented by the bowl results. But I think to win four BCS titles in a row, I think it's hard to argue it's not the premier conference in the country. And as I sit here contemplating the top 25 for next season already, I think Alabama's probably number one again.
Really? Why?
Well, yeah, obviously going to lose Terrence Cody, the nose tackle, probably lose Rolando McClain, the Buckus Award winner at linebacker, lose Javier Arenas, but most of their firepower coming back on offense. You would assume Greg McElroy is going to be better next year. Ingram's coming back. Trent Richardson's coming back. You know, replace a couple of guys on the offensive line, but I think Bama and Texas, for that matter, are probably as well equipped as any team at just filling in guys, and we've seen the way Nick Saban's recruited.
Well, we heard Mike Johnson, the All-American guard, say that the defensive line will be in fine shape, you know, because they've played so many guys, and the younger guys have played so well. In fact, I think Marcel Darius leads the team in sacks coming off the bench. But
I wanted to add off of that, I talked to Mike Slive briefly today, and he's fairly giddy at the possibility of a fourth straight title by a third different team. And this hasn't just been a USC run. It's been, you know, a bit of a spreading of the wealth here a little bit. So very impressive work by the SEC, even though, as Mark said, I think the bowl results have kind of mirrored what the regular season showed, that very good at the top and then maybe not a great
so
SEC after that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's appropriate for what I wanted to touch on with Texas, that we start off singing the SEC's praises. I think we came in here with Texas being a little overlooked and doubted. Now that we've all been here a few days, talked to them, seen them, focused on them a little bit more, Pat, do you think that we, you know, we're overlooking them at our own peril?
A little bit, yeah. It's similar to 2005, I think, where you're almost making too big an underdog out of a very good team, an undefeated team. And I think the perceptions have been skewed so much by the last time we saw these teams, when Texas was life and death to beat Nebraska, whereas Alabama had that tour de force against Florida. But if you go back, you know, before that, Alabama had its struggles. I mean, obviously against Auburn and Tennessee come to mind, where they were very close to losing those games. And Texas did have some good performances. I still think Alabama has played a much tougher schedule to get to this point, but Texas
yes.
is not chopped liver coming in here.
No, they're not. And I think, well, we'll get to the X's and O's part of a little bit. What do you think about that issue with Texas, Mark?
No, I think they're being overlooked. You know, one thing that struck me this week, I guess from Media Day on Wednesday more than anything, was just the personalities of these teams. I mean, Alabama mirrors Saban, the stoic, you know, business-like approach, and Texas is really, really loose, and I don't know what to make of that. I mean, is Texas too loose? Is Texas happy to be here because they didn't get here last year and thought they should have been here? Or, you know, is Alabama too uptight? And I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in tonight's game.
Well, the players I talked to at Alabama said their first practice out here Saturday was awful, and that they got it out of their system, and then from then on it's been pretty much business as usual. So, but you're right. I mean, you know, Saban is so good at what he does in the sense of getting those guys to focus and execute, do what they have to do, that they're not going to walk in bouncing around and cracking jokes. Yeah. Yeah, so, is it safe to say, and did we think this coming in here, that these are the two best teams?
You know, I think it's safer to say that now. I, you know, hindsight's a wonderful tool. I thought TCU was maybe more deserving of being here, and we talked about that back in early December. Yeah. But you know, they didn't perform very well on a big stage against Boise State. And one thing that bugged me a little bit is some people just kind of wanted to dismiss that game as both of them. I think they were both two good teams that made each other look bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a little bit of it was TCU was tight and that Boise had been there before, which, you know, let's sing the praise of the BCS a little bit. Boise had been there before, you know, and they knew how to get there. And, you know, Mark, we were talking about top 25 a minute ago. I mean,
Boise
they got
State's,
a lot coming
Boise
back.
Boise State's there to stay, boys.
Yeah.
I mean, they're losing one starter, Kyle Wilson. And next year, the BCS will have if they do next year what they did this year, BCS will have a really hard time keeping them out because they play Oregon State at home. They're going to play Virginia Tech at FedEx Field in D.C. and playing that schedule. It's going to be really hard to keep them out of there. But I'm going to have BYU in the top five, or excuse me, Boise State in the top five. I'm going to have TCU in the top 10. TCU's not losing a lot. They lose Darryl Washington, the linebacker, Jerry Hughes, the great defensive end, but nearly everybody else coming back.
So you think, having said that, you think Texas and Alabama is the right game?
I think it's the right game. I'm not sure that it's in. Call me an SEC homer, Ivan. I'm not sure that Alabama and Florida weren't the two best teams in the country. And I had my questions about Florida down the stretch. And is Florida the best team right now? The second best team right now? I don't know. They looked awfully impressive against Cincinnati, but a lot of questions with that team right
well,
now.
Well, and what I take from Florida is that they're almost as emotionally high and low as their coach. Yeah. It seems like, you know, the Alabama game, they played flat. And again, like we were saying, it may have been Alabama making them look flat. But, you know, they came out and, you know, what Urban Meyer did in resigning and taking a leave and all that, you know, he got his team to focus and play a great game against a team that was flat emotionally because it had lost its coach. So, okay. Big picture, again, if Texas wins, Mac Brown's second national championship in 4 years, what does that do for him?
I tell you what, it would be interesting because all of a sudden then he can say scoreboard to Bob Stoops, to Nick Saban, and a lot of other elite level coaches who don't have two national titles. You know, it would put him in a very elite category, I think. Further validate the amazing consistency over the last 10 years there. You know, 10 wins, 10 wins, 10 wins, 10 wins. I think last year might have been his best coaching job with a team that I didn't think was great. But this year he's followed it up with, they got better in the areas they needed to get better. They grew up a little bit on defense, especially in the secondary. And, you know, I think Mac Brown, you know, is a guy that I've kind of looked into a lot this week, and it's been interesting just to see his personal progression in terms of being able to enjoy himself more, lighten up a little bit more, and be less, as he put it, miserable going 10-3.
That's a good point. What do you think historically a win would do for Mac, Mark?
No, I think I agree with Pat wholeheartedly. I think it puts him among the elite coaches of the last half century. And, you know, my question would be if he wins a second title, and I won't say this team beating Bama was bigger than Vince's team beating USC. I think that USC team had so much star power that this would be a bigger upset. But, I mean, I think Alabama's a 10, 14 point favorite in this game on paper. And to pull that off twice, you know, my question would be, And I know it'd be awfully tough to walk away from a $5 million a year job, but if he wins a second title, you know, does that shorten his tenure at Texas? Does he still have the drive and the determination to do it again? Because there's no question they're going to lose McCoy, they'll lose Shipley. They're going to face, you know, Lamar Houston, Sergio Kendall. Is he going to want to put forth the effort to rebuild and get to this point again when you've got Will Muschamp sitting there as your coach in waiting?
That's an interesting question, and you could look at Urban and see he didn't want to start over at Florida, but I don't get that sense from Mac. Do you, Pat?
Yeah, no, after talking to Mac and Sally, his wife, you know, I think he could coach several more years. You know, they do have the coach in waiting, but I did not get the sense that he's, you know, looking wistfully out at the beach and saying, when can I get there? I think he's enjoying himself more now than he ever has.
Okay, let's look at the other side. If Nick Saban becomes the first guy to win two national championships at two different schools, you know, can he enjoy it? And, you know, will we look at him differently? Will he look at this differently?
That's a great question. I mean, I still remember the end of the 2003 championship when they won, and he just looked, there was no real sign on his face that he was truly overjoyed at that. It was just like, yep, well, all right, we got that done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
next. Yeah.
Wow. I think he's a bit of a different guy since then. I think having gone to the pros might have given him a greater appreciation for this. And yeah. Certainly, you know, he's coaching at a level even he had not reached before. So I would hope he would enjoy it. You've spent some time looking into him this week. What do you think, Ivan?
I think he would. I think he's got a sense that it would be pretty special. You know, I know he's promised some people that he would have a little bit of a celebration if they won, which is, you know, maybe he would have anyway. I just happened to hear about it. I don't know, but I think he just seems so much more comfortable there than I ever remember him being. I don't know, Mark. You know, do you get that sense that he's put down roots, he's found a home?
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Right.
I think he's there to stay, and you know, it's hard to imagine that anybody, that any coach could ever reach the stature of a Bear Bryant there. But if he were to win this and win another one, I mean, these people are already calling him a reincarnation.
If he does that, he'd only be, you know, wins this one and another one there, he'd only be four behind Bryant.
Yeah. I thought Alabama counted like 14.
They counted, like, if the local 7-Eleven would give him a national title, they'd count it.
All right, the game itself. Give me just a sense of what you think, what you're going to look for.
Close, low scoring, defense oriented. Could turn on an interception return, a kick return, a blocked kick, something like that. I think that there is a lot on Colt McCoy's shoulders more than any other player in this.
And in fact, you're writing about that.
I am.
It's posting today.
Yes, today on ESPN.com. And if you look back in recent history, and this is not to say all SEC teams are the same, but SEC defenses have dominated the championship game the last 3 years. You know,
that's a great point.
They force-fed Troy Smith his Heisman Trophy 3 years ago. He had 6 yards total offense in that game, 35 yards passing, negative 29 rushing. They beat the heck out of Todd Beckman. LSU did 2 years ago. Last year, Sam Bradford had his lowest quarterback rating of the year. The only game that he didn't have more touchdowns than interceptions. If they do that, if Colt McCoy has that kind of game, Texas is going to lose and may lose big. If he plays above that, if he can withstand everything Nick Saban's going to throw at him, Texas has a chance.
Well, I just don't. You know, Saban's philosophy is to try to take away what you do best. That's the old Belichick line, and that's Colt McCoy. And then what do they do? I mean, he took Tebow away against Florida, and Florida had very little to come back with. Mark, I mean, what do you think?
I think Alabama wins by double digits. After watching Texas play Nebraska in the Big 12 game, I just do not see how Texas' offensive line is going to block them. You know, I talked to Jimbo Fisher, the new Florida State coach, a few days ago. He said the first thing Nick Saban says when he walks into the meeting room Sunday night to game plan for an upcoming game, he said, how do we affect the quarterback? How do we alter the quarterback? How do we get to the quarterback? And I just think Texas is too one-dimensional on offense. I agree with Pat. I think too much is riding on Colt McCoy's shoulders. I don't think he gets enough help from Trey Newton and Fozzie Whitaker and those guys. Saban and Kirby Smart are so good at confusing quarterbacks with multiple looks, blitzes from everywhere. And I know Colt's 4 years into this, but I think he's going to see some things he didn't expect to.
His 53rd start Thursday night. It's absolutely amazing. And what strikes me about Alabama, and I could be, you know, again, reading too much into it, is the last five quarters from Greg McElroy, you know, they're now a lot more balanced on offense than they were all year. And that might, you know, if Texas tries to take away Ingram and Trent Richardson, which you assume they will, that you know, it'll be McElroy's game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do think, just based on the most recent evidence, he's up for it. You know, we'll see. Now, I mean, Florida's defense played a very poor game. I wouldn't expect to see Texas miss that many tackles or blow that many coverages. But you look at McElroy a whole lot differently now than you did, you know, a month ago or a month and a half ago, I guess, when he was in a little bit of a lull there. So, you know, I think, like I said, close, low scoring. Alabama wins 20-14. I guess I'll go with that. You know, hopefully it's a game that goes into the fourth quarter and everybody's still on the edge of their seats then.
That would be fun, and the weather's supposed to be very poor in the south, so they'll all be watching.
I got a hot tip from the trailer park. I mean, RV park.
Yeah.
Last night over in Pasadena, they're expecting an ice storm in Alabama Thursday night, and there's been a run on electric gas generators, because the Bama fans are afraid they're not going to be able to watch the game.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't find one.
That would be a true natural disaster.
That would, yeah, the state would implode.
The things you pick up in an RV park.
Yes. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I hope everybody enjoys the game. We're all looking forward to it. It's been a good week and a fun season. Pat, Mark, thanks. This is Ivan Maisel. This has been the ESPNU College Football Podcast. Thanks for downloading us.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's show. For more great podcasts, check out the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com. Hey, college football fans, this podcast is brought to you by Citi. And whether it's football or finance, teamwork matters, which is why Citi is proud to present the 2010 Citi BCS National Championship Game.